Good evening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so amazing. He's so kind, so merciful, so gracious to us. What a blessing. What a privilege to have a Father who loves us like our Father loves us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's almost no better way to begin our walk, our eternal walk with our God, than from that point of realization where we get clarity about how much He loves us. Everything began with His love for us from the very beginning. Before we ever did anything good or bad, He loved us. And He has always loved us, and He's loved us with an everlasting love. That's why the root of His love for us in the Greek is agape. It's God's unconditional love. Unconditional. It's not based on performance. It's not based on what we've done. It's not based on our works. He just loves us. Hallelujah. And I congratulate you tonight, wherever you are. I thank you for joining us, whatever platform you're joining us on, and wherever you are in the world, I congratulate you for being a recipient of the love of God. Truly, the love of God knows no boundaries. Where would we be without His love? He loved us so much. He gave us His only begotten Son, Jesus. He proved His love for us, not by talking about it. There's nothing wrong with talking about how much we love people. We should tell people, we love you, I love you. We should let people know how much we appreciate them. We should never be scared, ever. We should never, ever be afraid of expressing the God kind of love that we have. Satan has designed things in the world. Everything is so corrupted. Everything is so corrupted. There's so much fear. Everything begins with fear. There's so much fear. There's so much confusion. There's so much corruption. There's so much suspicion, and that's the sphere Satan operates in. That's the arena where he thrives. But notice, our Father never holds back on telling us first how much He loves us, and then demonstrating it. He never stops at just talking about it. Because love isn't just about what we say. In fact, in 1 John, the Bible says, don't just talk about how much you love somebody or how much you love people. It says, actually love them by the things that you do. Actually show your love for them by the things that you do. You can't express love without action. Love is action. Love is action. I know years ago there was a phrase that was popularized in the world where, you know, people say, don't tell me how much you care. Something like that. It's So I don't want to know, something like that's escaping me now. It's like, it's not what you are saying. It's what you are doing. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. I love that. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And caring and loving isn't a one-way street. That's why a lot of relationships die. Because from the very beginning, God ordained that love would be a two-way street. Love isn't the monopoly of some people. Being loved isn't the entitlement of some other people. Love is a two-way street. You receive love and you give love. That's what makes life complete. If all we ever do is just receive love and receive love and receive, and there's a whole lot of people who have this sense of entitlement. Like, you ought to love me. You ought to just love me. Yes, you, regardless, you ought to just love me. No. Love is not something that we demand from people. Love isn't, it's not an entitlement. But love is celebrated when it is given. And it is reciprocated when it is received. So, love is a two-way street. God loves us so much. And I'm so thankful we've taken so many weeks just studying about the love of God, how much He loves us, how much His love means in our lives. Praise God. Even from Ephesians, when Paul prayed that prayer, I believe several weeks into our series of studies, that prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 probably means so much more today than it meant at the beginning of our studies together on this love revolution. Not because it's different from the word, not because the spirit of the word is different, no, but because we have a greater revelation and a greater appreciation of the love of God. Hallelujah. You know, let's pray. Our time is going to be up very soon. Oh, hallelujah. I just, sometimes I just get beside myself. Just so thankful for how much our Father loves us. Just so thankful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I can't really go as far as I was thinking I would, because my introduction took so long tonight. So let's make sure I get this right. Hallelujah. Get this right. Praise God. So I don't go beyond time. Even at this rate, I think that I'm already beyond. But let's share a word of prayer and let's dive into the word of God. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness, your loving kindness. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in our lives. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for sending our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, to give his life for us on the cross. Thank you for giving us everything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making something beautiful out of our lives. We honor you tonight. Father, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is in this Bible study with us tonight. None of us will live the same way that we came. Something unique, something supernatural, something incredible will be deposited in our spirits through the word of God tonight. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, this Paul said, he said in Ephesians 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." That is exactly what has been happening in all of our lives. If you have been consistently studying with us, no way your life can be the same. Hallelujah. If you have been on this discovery of God's love revolution that we have all been for almost 3 months now, no way your life or my life will remain the same. Glory to God. That realization, that revelation, being rooted, being grounded in the love of God, becoming filled with the fullness of God's love is really what has been happening to us. Amen. Oh my goodness. How glorious the thought, how glorious the knowledge, how glorious the revelation that God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. Amen. We've read this so many times. Let me read this here in the King James and then switch it over to the Passion Translation before we press forward. Here, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." We are accepted in the beloved, in the community of God, in the community of the holy, in the community of heaven, in the community of the blessed and the beloved. You and I are accepted. Amen. We're not accepted because we're perfect. We're not accepted because we always do everything right. We're not accepted because we're just like God in perfection. No. We're accepted in the beloved because of what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. He took our sin. He took our shame. He took our fallen human nature and took it upon himself and gave us the divine nature of God. He clothed us with that divine nature of God. God's DNA became our DNA. We became like God in our nature. And once that happened, we became accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. It's all because of the love of God. It's all because of how much he loved us. How much he loved us. Whew. Let's read these scriptures right here in the, let's read this in the Passion. Oh my God. Hallelujah. He's so faithful. In the Passion. Whew. Wow. What an awesome God he is. He's so faithful. talking about his love, I'm just feeling it. I mean, you don't have to feel it. There are many times when we don't feel it. In fact, there are times when we just feel and we wonder, like, does God remember me? Sometimes the enemy even whispers, God doesn't love you. There's so many people who are going through certain things in their lives, and they think, I don't know that God loves me. I mean, if God loves me, how could all this be happening? just in case somebody's out there listening tonight, God loves you. No matter what is going on in your life tonight, God loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, God loves you. In fact, God said, you remember in Isaiah 49, he said, can a mother forget? Glory to God. Can a mother forget her suckling child? He asked them. Because some of those people started to say, God's forgotten about me. Because of some of the things they were dealing with in their lives, they felt forsaken. Oh my goodness, I love that line. I love that line in our 2026 confession. It's shifting. This season is shifting and there's a lifting up for me. And he talked about different things. From forsaken to Hephzibah. I love that. Say Hephzibah. I'm beloved. That's what that word means. I'm beloved. And I'm remembered and I'm beloved. Glory to God. I'm not forsaken. I'm not forgotten. Amen. But in Isaiah 49, some of these people, because of some of the things they were going through, they started to feel and they started to listen to the lies of the enemy, saying, yeah, you see, God loves Pastor. See how God moves in his life. See all the good things God does for, and he does, really, to be fair and to be honest and to be quite transparent about it. I know it's very evident that God loves me. I mean, if it was possible, I would say I'm probably God's favorite child. I feel sometimes like I'm just the most beloved of the Lord. I hope you do feel that way sometimes too. Actually, I hope you feel that way all the time. Amen. But Satan might say, oh, see, God loves Pastor. Because see how well he takes care of him. See how good God is to him. See how much God has settled him. See how much God takes care of him. It's true. It's true. God loves Pastor. It's true. No question. But then the other part of what he says then is a lie. See, God loves him so much. But you are forgotten. You are all the way down on the queue. Sometimes, you know, it's tough for God to remember. That's a lie. You are loved. You are just as loved by the Lord. You are just as loved. You are just as loved. Somebody say, I'm just as loved. Amen. I'm just as loved. Glory to God. That just makes me excited. Some of these people in Isaiah 49 and in verse 14, but Zion said, this was some of the people in God's household, some of the people in God's family, the church, the people of God. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord and my Lord has forgotten me. See, that's a lie. It was based on some of the things they were going through, some of the things they were dealing with. And Satan started to whisper into their ears. Look at that. But Zion said, this is Isaiah 49 and verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And this is God's response to that in verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Her sucking child. Oh, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Can a woman, can a mother forget? No. You know, you mothers out there, you know. And you fathers out there, you know. Glory to God. You can't forget your children. You love them too much. They are your world. You know that. They're your world. They're no matter what's going on, no matter where you are, they are always on your mind. You're always thinking about them. When you're happy, you're thinking about them. When you're sad, you're thinking about them. When things are going on around the world, you're thinking about them. If they're away from you, you're always thinking about them. God said, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? He said, yeah, they may forget sometimes. He said, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you, your image, upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Glory to God. as how much he loves us. We're engraven on the palms of his hands. Our walls, our desires, our thoughts, our aspirations. Glory to God. Our prayers are always before him. Always before him. Let's go right back here, Ephesians chapter 1, in the Passion Translation from verse 3. It says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. Verse 4, he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. He loved us. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be holy in his eyes. Verse 5 and 6. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And his unfolding plan brings him, this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. He loved us in a stupendous, that is big, huge. Like some of the angelic beings that saw how much he loved us, suddenly said, this is incredible. It's true. How can he love them this much? In our teaching last week, I alluded to this psalm, the 8th psalm. The angels looked at how much God loved man and look at how much God esteemed man, and the angels were beside themselves. How can he love them this much? How can he esteem them this much? The 8th psalm. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than Elohim. You have made him a little lower than God. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Those angels, they couldn't hold it back. Their amazement. This love just seemed crazy. Crazy kind of love. Well, when you get a revelation of how much God loves you, you immediately and you consistently want to love him back, and to show your love for him by the sacrifices that you make. You want to love him in such a way that the people, when you get a revelation of the love of God, this is one of the first indicators that we have a clear revelation of the love of God for us. When you get that revelation, you want to love God, and you begin to love him in a way that the people that observe you think that you lost your mind. They think it's crazy. I remember decades ago when we gave our lives to Christ. I remember in those early beginnings when we gave our lives to Christ. Oh my goodness. When we gave our lives to Christ. In those early beginnings, Thinking about it now, I almost feel like I now understand what the Lord Jesus was saying to some of those churches in Revelations. You remember that the letters that were written to the church, I think this was the Ephesian church actually, where the Lord said to them, "You've lost your first love." You remember? He wrote these letters to I think to there were five different churches or seven different churches, but the part of it that was addressed to the Ephesians, actually to seven different churches, the part of it that was addressed to the church in Ephesus, I want to read that one. It actually was the very first one. That's interesting. It was the very, very first. It was the very first letter that Jesus sent. It was the first church that he addressed. In Revelations, the second chapter, in chapter 2 of Revelations from verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, and I know your labor, and your patience, and how you cannot bear them that are evil. And you have tried them who say they're apostles, and they are not, and you have found them liars. Verse 3, and you have borne and had patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Verse 4, this is Revelations chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have something against you, the Lord said to this church. Nevertheless, I have something against you." What did he have against them? He said, "Because you have left your first love." You left your first love. I almost feel like I have a clearer understanding of what the Lord was referring to in those words he sent to the Ephesian church. "I have something against you. You lost your first love." Do you know that most of us, when we came into Christ, I don't know about you, but for us, for me, for many of us that I knew, that I flocked with at the time that I gave my life to Christ, 40-something years ago, we just loved him. I think the clarity, you know, because we were so close. We had just come into Christ. We were so close. We were so close to our unbelieving nature. We were so close to our ungodly nature. I mean, in terms of time, we had just come into Christ. We could tell. We were so aware of how much God did to rescue us, to deliver us, because we were so familiar with our humanity. We were so familiar with the depraved way in which we lived. We were so familiar with the corruption that we thrived in, that when we came into Christ, we just loved him. I don't know about you, but this is what happened to me. And I know this is what happened to many believers when they come into Christ. We just love the Lord so much. We just love him so much. We were willing to do anything, go anywhere. I remember we'd go everywhere. We'd go out, we'd do evangelism, telling people about what the Lord had done for us. You know, we would carry our Bibles. We were always in fellowship. It was so strange. Our friends separated themselves from us because they couldn't stand us. Right? They thought we were crazy. They thought we had lost our minds. It's because we loved him so much. we realize how much He loved us. We realize how much His love had accomplished in our lives. Glory to God. What we used to be, who we used to be, and how He changed us, how His love changed us. And at that time, we just wanted to be anything. Anything He needed us to be. We wanted to go anywhere He sent us. We wanted to do anything He needed us to do. We just loved Him. We just loved Him. But as you go on your journey, and I know all of us have experienced this, and we get further and further removed from where we started from, many times we begin to forget where He brought us from. We begin to forget what His love accomplished in our lives. We begin to lose sight of what He delivered us out of. And unfortunately, as that happens, we also begin to get far removed from our revelation of His love. And it begins to show, unfortunately. Many times we become cynical. It's hard to believe. It's hard to tell people what the Lord's done for us. We even sometimes want to hide, you know? We want to be politically correct, right? We don't want to carry a Bible necessarily, right? We want to do everything on our phone. And if we're going to church sometimes, and we don't even want to tell people, right? And we're not as vocal about our faith. We're not as crazy, that crazy love. That crazy love. It takes longer for people to actually see the difference in us. We blend in as much as we can. It's hard to tell the difference. It's what happened to the Ephesian church, the people in the Ephesian church. And the Lord sent them that message. He says, yeah, I commend you for your patience. I commend you because you've taken my name. I commend you because you've judged some of the liars and some of the people. You've done all of this. But I have something against you. You lost your first love. You lost your first love. What was he talking about? You moved away from where you loved me. In a crazy, stupendous way. You've moved away from where you loved me so much that I was the most important thing in your life. You've moved away from where I was everything to you. That whatever I needed you to do, you could hardly wait. You could hardly wait to dive in. You had so much zeal. You had so much zeal and so much fervor. I'm way ahead of myself, but let me read a couple of things here. This is ABCs of this is a book that the Lord helped us write many, many years ago, about more 10 years or so ago now. There's a section in that book that's devoted to talking about zeal and growing in zeal for God. It starts by quoting the scripture in John chapter 2, verse 17, that scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you. And his disciples, remember when he went into the temple and drove out all these people that were doing, you know, and his disciples had never seen him like that before. They had never seen that version of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they saw that, they said, oh my goodness, is this the Lord? Is this the Lord? Wow. I mean, it was too radical for them. It's a revolution. I mean, they didn't, who had they ever seen do that? see people abusing and desecrating the house of God, and would go in and drive them out and jealously guard and protect the house of God. They didn't see anyone doing that. This seemed crazy to them. And the Bible says here in John chapter 2, verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of your house has eaten me up." John 2, 17. I love the way it's written in, it's quoted in the contemporary English version. The disciples then remembered that the scriptures say, "My love," oh, I love this. This is the contemporary English version of John 2, 17. Jesus is our ultimate example, right? Look at the example of Jesus. Look at the example of Jesus. John 2, 17, contemporary English version. Then the disciples then remembered that the scriptures say, "My love for your house burns in me like a fire." My love for you and my love for your house burns in me like a fire. They had never seen that, but then they remembered it was written in the scriptures. It was David. It was a psalm of David. But Jesus was playing it out. He was playing out that scripture in real time. The zeal of your house. He said he loved him. He loved him so much. His love for God and his love for his house and his zeal for God had consumed him like a raging fire. Yeah, that's what the Lord was talking about with that Ephesian church. He says, yeah, you've done this good stuff, good this guy, good devil, but I have something against you, he said to them. I have this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. Can I ask you tonight, wherever you are, wherever you're joining us from on this Bible study, have you lost your first love? Have you moved away, so far away from where you started? Have you gotten so far away from the memory of what the Lord did in your life? Have you lost your first love? Have you lost that passion for God? That craziness. Or did you ever have it? Did you ever have that? Because if you never have that, well, what the Lord said to the Ephesian church does not even apply to you to start with. That you need to get that is where you need to start from. You need to get that. And the way to get that is through all of this series of studies and more. Did you lose your first love? Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. We closed out. Oh my goodness, that's my timer. We closed out last week. The story of that woman, we can't do that now. Timer is gone off. I can't go back there. Luke chapter 7. I got to wrap this up and just close this out. I wanted to read a couple of things, and I'm way ahead of myself, but I'll come back to this when we get back, when we resume our studies. I wanted to read a couple of things from that chapter. Just one paragraph. I'm going to just read just the first paragraph from that section, that chapter of the book, and try to close this out tonight. My time got away from me so fast tonight. Oh, God. Would you lift up your hands and pray this prayer with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I devote and dedicate myself to you afresh. I'm going back to my first love. I ask you to take me back there, to where I started from. Take me back to the very beginning or to the highest point of the passionate love that I had for you. I consecrate myself to loving you more every day, to loving you more every day, to walking in the realization and in the revelation of your love for me. And I give you praise for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It says, zeal is fervor, love, and passion for someone or something. One of the greatest ways to fan the flames of God's fire within us is to take active, practical steps to grow in and to demonstrate our love for God and the things of God. As you probably know, if you seek to grow in your love for someone that you are in a relationship with, you must not leave that desire up to how you feel when you feel like showing love to them, or that relationship will inevitably shrivel and die. Oh my goodness, I want to close out here. One of these days, I'm going to bring that song and play it, actually. It's not a song. It's a song, it's how many years ago? 1981. Used to be really one of my favorite songs. It was written in 1981, way back then, in the 80s, late 80s. I just loved 80s, 90s, just loved this song. It was one of these groups out of California. And if you are very new to the things of God, or a couple of decades in, this may not be a group that you knew. You've ever heard about, but they wrote so many lovely songs. They were called Brush Arbor, was the name of that group way back then. And one of their songs, Only for the Love of the Lord, is one of my favorites. I'm going to just read the lyrics and have us pray and close out tonight, because our time is so far gone. Listen to this. They said this is the lyrics for Only for the Love of the Lord, written by Brush Arbor. One of these services, when we get back, whenever that is, I'm gonna actually, I know they may take me off the air, but I'm gonna take a chance and do it anyways. If I can just put something, one or two little bits of that song out, most people don't know it anyways. So I'm gonna do something with that song at some point. Listen to this. If I had to swim across the ocean, with waves are rolling with fear, where waves are rolling with fear and emotion, I'll do it only for the love of the Lord. And if I had the wealth of every nation, and if I could afford to buy all of creation, I'll lose all that wealth only for the love of the Lord. Oh, how I need the love of the Lord in my life. There's just no way I could ever survive without Him here in my heart. If I had a single cup of water, I'll cross the desert in the name of the Father. I'll do it only for the love of the Lord. If I had to swim across the ocean with waves rolling and where there's fear and emotion, I'll do it only for the love of the Lord. The crux of that song, I'll do anything. I'll do anything for the love of the Lord. His zeal, His fervor, His passionate love has possessed me. I'll do love of the Lord. For the love of the Lord. I'll go anywhere for the love of the Lord. That's my prayer as we close out tonight, that all of us would attain that higher level of our love, the demonstration of our love for our Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Love Revolution. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hands over our lives. Thank you, Father, for this. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful, amazing, lovely session you have blessed us with tonight. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice, and their families and their loved ones. Bless them tonight. Bless this word and cause it to continue to reverberate within our spirits. I thank you, Father. I give you all the glory and all the praise. You alone deserve it. You alone are worthy to receive it. So receive it to yourself, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Saints, we're out of time. Glory to God. What a glorious time we had together tonight. I hope you can feel it out there like I can hear. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Very soon. Very, very soon. God bless you. Good night.